The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello friends, I'm your host, Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Hello friends. So I've been asked about the infamous New Year's crush in Hong Kong in 1993, and how that affected me as I was there. So for those of you that haven't read my book Eating Smoke, I traveled to Hong Kong for the first time. I've been there four times now in my life, that is. So I travelled there for the first time in 93. I got a cheap indulgence flight because I was still Royal Marines Commando. And in those days, you could pay a silly amount of money. I mean, a small amount of money. In this case, it was £40, so 60 American dollars. And you could fly to all kinds of exotic locations around the world, Hong Kong obviously being one of them. So I flew with British Airways. You probably heard me say in those days I was a big drinker, so I drank probably more than 40 quid's worth of beer on the plane. And I landed in Hong Kong. I went into the naval base, HMS Tamar. It's sort of a small skyscraper. And I blagged some accommodation with my fellow Marines there who were in the territory on anti-smuggling duties. They were called 539 Assault Squadron Royal Marines. Now, my first week there, and I went there at Christmas, and I was walking down a shopping street, wondering why all these big jewellery stores, which were very plush sort of affairs, why the security guards standing outside all had shotguns, right? It just seemed a bit extreme. We have nothing like that in England. We still don't to this day. And I'd never seen it in any of the places I travelled. It was, you know, it was kind of an indication something was going to go on in this place, and you know, you're not sure what, but it's when it kicks off, it's going to be big. So lo and behold, I'm in this shopping street, and suddenly I hear bang 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 bang. Someone's firing an automatic weapon at the other end of the street, right? So when I got back to the base that night, the naval base, I'm Excuse me, that was my computer just going off for some reason. So I got back to the naval base and the news came on a big television screen, and it was Yip Kai Foon, who I will talk about in another video. This guy was a legendary gangster, and he was the first person in Hong Kong to start robbing jewelry stores using an AK-47. So I thought there and then, this place, it's serious, you know. When it goes off, it's serious. So the reason I say that is that I went away for a week then. I went to Thailand. I think I spent Christmas in Thailand, and as you'll know, I got my nose broken fighting the Thai mafia in a nightclub. Came back to Hong Kong, all stitched up, and it was New Year's Eve. And I was drinking in the bar of the naval base with the daughter of one of the commanders there and some Navy guys. And a young Navy guy, Smudge, said, "Chris, do you want to go downtown? You know, we'll go and count the New Year in." So, yeah, of course, why not? We ended up at a place called Lan Kwai Fong, which is Hong Kong's second nightclub area. You may have heard of Wan Chai, as in the legend of Susie Wong, the kind of sailor's hedonistic, I would say paradise, but it's really kind of a red light district, gangland district. It's where I work for the 14K triads. Well, this is the second, Hong Kong's second nightclub area, and it's a bit more upmarket. It's a bit more for your sort of posh expats. So Smudge and I went down there, and we were drinking in a bar called Mad Dogs, which was interesting because there used to be a drink at the time called Mad Dog 2020. Put a comment, leave a comment if you remember that drink. It was this savagely strong, I think it was when the first flavoured drinks came out, you could get kind of raspberry flavour and whatever. But anyway, we're in Mad Dogs drinking, and New Year came and went, and we did the usual, you know, Auld Lang Syne or whatever it was. And about 12:30, we decided to leave to go back to the base. And when we got outside, there was ambulances and police cars everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It was one of the most surreal experiences I've ever been in. More emergency vehicles than I've ever seen, not just in my life, but even like in a film or something, right? And all down the middle of the street are shoes. Yeah, shoes. And I'm stood there with Smudge, and we were hammered. Obviously, he's a Matlow, I'm a bootneck Marine. So we just drank to destruction in those days. And I'm staring at these shoes, thinking, what? And in the doorways of the premises, the shops and so forth down this street, the Agula Street, there was bodies lying in the doorways, lifeless bodies. And the ambulance people were trying to resuscitate them. This is a whole street like this. So I'm like, Smudge had been in the territory for a year. He was on draft over there. I'm just there for my Christmas holiday, right? Smudge, what is going on? He said, it's Hong Kong police. They always overreact. They always overreact. Come on, Chris. Come on. Come on. And he grabbed me and he sort of, you know, ushered me out of there. And I was just in that stage where I was so drunk. I knew something wasn't right, but I couldn't work out what it was. You know, was this like, has it been a fight or something? Is that someone knocked somebody out? But it's so many people. Anyway, next day I got up. Probably didn't have so much of a banging hangover back in those days as I would now. And I decided to go over to Kowloon, which is the peninsula side of Hong Kong Island. So I jumped on one of the old vintage, historic, antique star ferries, paid my traditional, it's like a traditional 25 pence fare, and it's never changed all these years. And over I went, and I'm sat there, and the guy opposite me, just a silly thing on these ferries, the seats, when it goes one, the ferry goes one way, the seats face that way, the way it's going, obviously. When the ferry turns round to return journey, the seats just flip like that. Just thought I'd throw that in there. But anyway, this guy is sat on a seat near me, and I looked across, and he lifted up his copy of the South China Morning Post, and their headline was 20 people crushed to death in New Year's reveling. And it all suddenly made sense. So to fill you in on what happened, traditionally at New Year, there's a 10 count, a countdown, and people rush out of the bars in Lan Kwai Fong to just celebrate the new year in together. And someone's on a megaphone, 10, 9, you know, you can picture the scene, right? Well, this year there was a particularly large amount of revelers, and they all rushed out the clubs and they rushed into this street, and it was slicken with beer and champagne from people celebrating. There was also people spraying foam around. And of course, the people came in this street, slipped straight on their ass, and the people behind just came over the top of them. Before you knew it, people were dying, panic had broken out, and the crush started. And a little bit like that awful football disaster, it was people coming in the back, not realizing what was happening, because they're hearing the screams and they're thinking it's people are having fun, it's New Year. And so they kept pushing and pushing. And of course, as we know, 20 people died. The majority, 17, were Hong Kong Chinese. There was a Canadian, I believe it was, a Canadian teenager, I think 17. And there was a 15-year-old English expat teenager, kid, 15. I believe he was the son of a local police chief or something of that nature. And I think the other person was of Asian descent, foreigner, but of somewhere in Asia. And so, yeah, that was the time where I saw 20 people dead. Did it affect me? Have to be honest, no. Don't wish to sound callous, but for a start, I was young. I was a young commando. So, you know, I wasn't going to go getting like too emotionally upset about anything back then, right? Secondly, I was obviously really drunk, and maybe that created a kind of buffer between me and the reality. By the time I realised what had actually happened, that kind of maybe the trauma or the initial shock would have gone, right? Had I been in the actual crowd, so I probably would have just been so thankful to get out with my life, right? And hell knows what effect that would have had on me. But yeah, just surreal. Surreal. So stay tuned, and I will be talking about the legendary Hong Kong gangster, Chinese immigrant, illegal immigrant, Yip Kai Fun. Thank you for listening.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.